Be strong and courageous. Those are the words that the Lord spoke to Joshua as he was sending him across the Jordan to take possession of the Promised Land.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Where does that courage come from? From Joshua's strength? From the number of soldiers? No, from the promise. I will not leave you or forsake you. The Christian is courageous to face all of the troubles of this world, not because we're strong, not because we can resist the world and the flesh and the devil on our own, but because the Lord is with us. The Lord fights for us. The Lord keeps us through all the troubles of life into the joy and hope of the life to come.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for Christian courage at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger, God, and steadfast love, and he led us to disaster.
Jesus said, if anyone would come after me,
let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was crushed for our iniquities.
Thank you.
A continuation of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the evangelist St. Mark. They led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together, and Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself by the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying,
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'"
Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus,
"Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?"
And he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?"
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
And the high priest tore his garment and said,
"What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?"
And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying,
"Prophesy."
And the guards received him with blows. Below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said,
"You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus."
But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you mean."
And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
"Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean."
But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear,
"I do not know this man of whom you speak."
And immediately, the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him,
"Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times.
And he broke down and wept.
Thank you.
And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You have said so."
And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him,
"Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you."
But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying,
"Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
For he had perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them,
"Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
And they cried out again,
"Crucify him!"
And Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him!"
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Soldiers led Jesus away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to be crucified.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You've heard of SEPA? The acronym stands for congenital insensitivity to pain with anhidrosis. SIPA designates a disorder of the nervous system which prevents the perception of pain. The nerves that transmit those indicators just never form. It also inhibits the sensation of temperature, so individuals who have SIPA don't sweat. That's the anhidrosis part. Sounds kind of like a superpower, doesn't it? No drugs necessary and nothing ever hurts. As a bonus, no pit stains or BO. But the actual experience transpires more like a curse than a cheat code. Infants with SIPA may present with febrile seizures. Approximately 20% of patients die from high fever by age 3. Risk runs severe for accidental self-injury in the absence of defensive impulses that the rest of us have. Infections and even fractures can go undetected. Their teeth all get pulled as soon as they come in, lest they inadvertently bite through their tongue or never learn not to chew off their lips. Perhaps not coincidentally, the genes responsible for SIPA reside on chromosome number 1. Believe it or not, hurt has a merciful side. Allowing or even applying pain can express compassion. Sometimes only discomfort averts a more serious injury. It protects by demanding immediate attention. It safeguards with a warning alarm. Suffering signals that something has gone wrong. Now, if your own history of pinches and pricks can't convince you, if your own ongoing encounters with ouches doesn't confirm it, then the torture and murder of Jesus Christ will. Woe to that man who betrays me, he says. Even greater danger ahead. It would have been better for him not to have been born at all. Only additional unpleasantness that way. And then, remove this cup from me. As if it shouldn't be going like this. It ought not to have to turn out this way. And finally, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. Dear God, what's happening? Why are you letting it wreck me? Until those loud cries claim the very last breath. Something's gone terribly wrong. A world where this can occur has malfunctioned. A system in which viciousness ravages innocence has become defective. And people who counter kindness with callous cruelty have broken down. But you know, you don't disagree. You've sensed it before. You've suspected it all along. You've felt it in your bones. Everything isn't all right. Stuff's off. Ghosts lurk in the machine. Gum's gotten stuck in the works. And despite an effective succession of all kinds of treats and trophies that make up most of our life, the discrepancy just grates. Even after a lifetime supply of gadgets and gratifications that we procure for ourselves, the dissonance still scrapes. Never mind an endless cycle of fitness and fashion, of potions and pills. There is still a friction that chafes the best of us. Despite all of the mind speaking and the place putting, the whole contraption feels patently out of whack. And you know what? That really does grieve us. Something has long since gone wrong. And I'll be honest, it looks an awful lot like us. The crucifixion simply serves as the suitable proof. Did you notice that crucifixion has fix sitting right there in the middle? The word fix lying right at the heart of it all. Fix. the human thing to do, the distinctive, quintessential human thing to do, the sinful, selfish human thing to do, to fix. You see, that's the problem. The problem consists of fixing, our insistence on always fixing. Desperately, recklessly, we try every which way, like crucifying criminals or even nailing Christ himself. We try to take control and set right in our own eyes. I want to call shots and play God. Let me make like the hero and act as a savior. Look, we got the next magic bullet, the newest miracle cure. Listen, we whipped up a panacea and figured the antidote out. It's a comedy of continuous self-sabotage, if only it hadn't grown so tragic. The crucifixion is a reflection that all the wrong out there comes from right in here. And we have it so bad for this bungling blueprint, a system of fixing, that even though we've been given abundant access to heaven-sent stock, we still find a way to build hell out of it. Thank God it hurts. Thanks be to God it doesn't work. Something gone wrong means that everything hasn't. If you know something's wrong, then not everything is wrong. The early warning system stayed online and it runs exactly as designed. The engineer didn't skip town. The captain's not abandoning ship. Sentries keep station. The regime stands intact. Wrong as our subversive venture has become, it has not, nor can it have, brought down God's everything. Even in the context of crucifixion, goodness prevails. And that means that hope remains. You feel pain because you haven't seen death. We suffer because we have survived. Jesus embodies God reserving the worst for himself alone. He's the fuse that blew when the charge that we accrued fires the line. He became the breaker, taking the surge that we deserve. Now, yes, the sun hid and the rocks split, but the earth still turned further the day that our representative died. The timbers that made up the cross did not disintegrate. The nails they put through his hands and feet never went limp. The same lungs that cried out, "Crucify," kept pumping. The hearts that gave quarter to hatred thumped again. Arms that swung hammers still hung from the shoulders they came on. Friday night, Jerusalem slept because Father Almighty forgave. Saturday dawned. The world awoke because the Father forgave all of us for the sake of his Son. Now, sure, creation was sore. Cosmos saddened, sorrowful. Those echoes afflict us all to this day. Bruised our heels, you might say. But our heads are still in place, and our hearts as well, because the Heavenly Father already forgave you when the Son of God stood in the breach. The dam may have creaked, the seams strained, the joints wrenched, but the love of God held. Blessed aching that testifies we have escaped from annihilation, that verifies we were not eradicated. And so, of course, resurrection ensues. Recovery cannot fail to follow, no matter how much the affliction hurts. Jesus, becoming incarnate among us, has left God neither the time nor the desire to abandon. Even after it is finished, he came back, and he continues coming. so that he might embrace us eternally. As wrong as our iniquities, twice as right is his atoning. As detrimental as our offenses are, so much more relentless is he to reconcile us from them. Something gone wrong means that everything hasn't. And the way out of the valley of the shadow of death passes through it. Temptation and regret are going to continue to graze your right side, and the devil and death will brush against your left. But you may know, you must know, it is only so that your divine Savior may once more parade his victory, process your salvation right underneath their noses. Rest assured, you will feel the reality. In this body and the life that we lead, the sensation of it always seems strange. And you might say it's not a little uncomfortable. But remember this, the hand that slaps on the backside comes from the arms that clasp to the bosom. And believe that the mouth that scolds for a moment belongs to the countenance that smiles evermore. Baptismal promise, baptismal water, baptismal life forever, however frigid at first, soon soothes against both frost and fire. But can you put it into practice? Can you live baptismal deliverance? Can you ever? It's the merciful courage to turn back from danger, to turn back ourselves, and to turn back our neighbors. With the same winsomely insistent words of warning our Lord himself has given us, something gone wrong means that everything hasn't. And this everything else and far more, it's a someone. He's a somebody who won't stop at anything until he brings every something gone wrong to nothing, even for you. Amen. May the same Lord who has himself begun this good work in you carry it on to its completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed. To give all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
day of trouble. Spare us, O Lord, and mercifully forgive our sins, though by our continual transgressions we have merited your chastisements. Be gracious to us. Grant that all these punishments which we have deserved may not come upon us, but that all things may work for our everlasting good. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.